Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Visit Mount Mitchell. This is Dr. John Stain calling in from a rainy Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I got my buddy Robert Storch with me. Robert, how you doing? And what's the weather like up in Mount Mitchell today?
They're saying some flash floods, so we're sort of getting the same weather you are down there. But it's beautiful to be in the mountains.
You can be flat. It'll be flashing up there, but that's okay. Well, it's supposed to clear up here about 1 o'clock, and we'll be doing caricatures for the rest of the day, like we always do on the weekends here in Myrtle Beach. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, you talk about fun. I've got one of the most interesting guests and friends ever. Let me tell you what they say in the wrestling business. Every professional wrestler that I know says the following: if we didn't have fans, we wouldn't have a job. And I think we're very fortunate today to have with us Malcolm Wildman. I believe, in my heart, he is the top wrestling super fan in the country. He loves wrestling. He knows so many of the professional wrestlers. He's got great stories with them. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, Dr. John. I'm keeping the madness alive for a man named Randy Savage, Randy Popple. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the thank you so much for the Randy Savage bit there. He is truly one of the most, you know, there's some wrestlers that are just so exciting. You stand it. One is Randy Savage. Another one is Hulk Hogan. Another one I can tell you is David Arquette.
John, when you got the power of Hulkamania inside of you, the training, the saying your prayers, the eating your vitamins, the always believing God, country, and Hulkamania, what you gonna do when it overcomes you, brother?
That's right. That is Hulk Hogan to a T. Thanks a lot. Anyway, good morning, Malcolm. How are you doing otherwise?
I am so excited about doing this for my buddy David Arquette. He's my best friend in the world. I've had friends before. I had friends in Korea. I had friends at Fort Bliss. I had a childhood friend named Duke Lyons on Princeton and Vallejo. But nobody like David Arquette has come into my life July 12th, 2018 at Grauman's Chinese Theater. And he has bought me hotel rooms for events. And he has paid for my last game in Oakland, the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars, December 15th. And I am going to do everything Dave tells me to do today. What he doesn't want me to do, I won't do. What he'll do for me. I asked David Arquette to sign my Batman poster. I mean, I've got so many signatures on that. And Dr. John, who's going to know if Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart or any wrestler signed my Batman poster? Who's going to know? Because if you think about it, wrestlers to me are real life villains in comic books. They're real life superheroes in comic books. Bret the Hitman Hart, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, has an evil laugh. He could have been a villain. I told Ted DiBiase, you could have been a villain on the Batman TV show if they were doing it. And the real-life Batman and Robin, to me, are Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake when they took on Zeus and the Macho Man at SummerSlam 89. Those guys, to me, are really, in wrestling, Batman and Robin.
That's great. Well, the reason, everybody, so that you know, the reason he's talking about David Arquette, Malcolm is from Las Vegas, but this weekend he is in the Los Angeles area. David Arquette, who was for 12 days the WCW World Heavyweight Champion and is one of the most insanely popular movie actors in independent films, has got a brand new film coming out, and it's called, Malcolm, correct me, but it's called They Can't Kill David Arquette. It's something close to that, isn't it, Malcolm?
Yeah, you know, I told Dave they should change the title because of all the things I've been through in my Army career and my regular Civilian Life. They should change the title. It's really called You Can't Kill David Arquette, but they should change the title to You Can't Kill David Arquette and His Hollywood Mega Powers Tag Team Partner Malcolm Wildman, because David, he's the madness, and I'm the mania, brother, in this tag team, and no Elizabeth, no female is ever going to break up the friendship between Malcolm Mania Wildman and David Mania Arquette City, ever, brother.
Well, that's cool. Now, and you know, it's great to have someone as excited and exciting as you are, because I know you go to tons and tons of events. You get people excited. You get them in a ladder, and people love it. And you are part of what makes wrestling great. We've got to get her shows. Her name is Granny Hulkster. She's from Arkansas, and she is the super fan in the Midwest. Love Granny Hulkster to death. She's great. And when you meet someone that's a wrestling superstar and super fan, it's wonderful. It just really gets you excited and everything. So, one thing, this is a show that families, visitors to Mount Mitchell and the area love to listen to, and they love to experience new and exciting people. One reason I've got you on here is you've got a story that has to do with re-enlisting and the power of the great wrestlers and what they can do for you. They can even keep your life going. So why don't you tell us this neat, neat story about flying in to Atlanta and why, you know, back in the day, and why you did it, and how did wrestling figure in to you still being here? You ready?
Okay. This started, let's see, July, June, started May of 1993. I was in my National Guard unit. I was our communications sergeant, and we got this videotape from President Bill Clinton, or the current president at that time. And President Clinton needed some guys overseas. So he offered these guys in the National Guard and Reserves to give them their full-time positions back and start their careers over. And they would lose a rank and get it back in 6 months. So I talked to my CO, Captain Demenitz. I talked to my first sergeant, Mac Ruff. He used to be in the motor pool, and he was a great guy. And my training NCO, Sergeant Bruce Berg, was my platoon sergeant, too, in formation. But he would handle all the paperwork, like pack stuff, and take care of the company. You know, Bruce was the best. And he had a fetish for Star Trek, the San Francisco 49ers, and the San Francisco Giants. And he had this little computer game in his office he used to play. So I went to all three of these guys, and I told Captain Demenitz, my company commander, I want to go back in full time. I want to see what it's like to be an infantry soldier, because I've been in communications for over 10 years. I went to drill sergeant school in Vallejo for a year and a half. I never got my Ranger hat. I took 220 tests, but they had too many people in the class, and I had to leave because of a pack issue. But I almost got my Ranger hat, my drill sergeant hat, and with my voice, it would have fit me to a T. But anyway, getting back to me going in, I talked to a recruiter in Concord, California. We did some paperwork, and he signed me up to go to Fort Benning July 23rd. Well, I was in the San Francisco airport, and I flew back there to Atlanta, Georgia, and the bus took me out to Fort Benning, a military bus. And there were some other guys that were there from New York, from Texas, from all over the place. And they took us to the reception center on the second or third floor. And it was a special building where they greet young recruits. But we were all prior service. We had like 9 or 10 years in already. We were in our late 20s, early 30s. You know, some guys, I was a sergeant. Some guys were staff sergeants. But they wanted to go back in, and they were tired of civilian world, and they wanted to be soldiers again. There's an old saying, Dr. John, you can take the soldier out of the army, but you can't take the army out of the soldier once he's learned his craft. But anyway,
I agree.
We stayed there at the reception center 2 or 3 days, and we were sent to this company area, and the drill sergeants greeted us, and one of the guys smarted up to the drill sergeant, and it was really hot, and they had us in the front lean and rest on the blacktop, and guys had blisters because the blacktop was so hot there, they had to put ointment on our hands. And anyway, they took us up to the barracks. We were on the third floor, or our platoon, and we were told we were going to the rifle range in 2 days. They took us out 2 days in a cattle car. Now, what a cattle car is, it's a big bus, but it has no seat. You stand up all the way. We rode for 2 hours from the company area out to the rifle range area, and we the driver drove us real slow. So I was on the bus, and I hadn't learned to do wrestling impressions, but I was doing Rocky and Bullwinkle, it was something like this, Dr. John. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Again? Nothing up my sleeve. Presto! I was doing that all the way out to the rifle range, stuff like that. I was doing Beavis and Butthead and stuff like that, impressions. And we got to the rifle range. We got off the bus. They lined us up. We went on the in groups. We went on the rifle course, and we qualified with the M16. We weren't taking scores. We were just practicing, getting our feet in the water again. And they told us to go over in the company area. Now, when I came back in, I was sweating so bad. What I did that morning, I forgot to tell you, is when you're in an area with a very high humidity, like Columbus, Georgia, where Fort Benning is like 30% higher than my normal state, California. So I wasn't really ready. I salted my food down like I did before, like when I was in basic training in 82 in Alabama, but I didn't salt it down enough, apparently. And I was drinking water, but I walked in and it looked like somebody dumped a bucket of water on top of me. And I was kind of wobbling, and the guys were, hey, Wildman, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I just hit the ground, and I passed out. And I remember the guys dragging me. I came back to about 2 seconds later, and the guys are dragging me to a tree in the shade. And I'm sitting there by the tree, and the guys are unbuttoning my uniform, my pants, my BDU top. They took it off, so I had my brown T-shirt on. They were trying to get me air. These guys did not want to lose me. I was a character. They needed me, to train with. I made them laugh. But Dr. John, these guys were best friends to me. If I see them again, and I want to see them again, I want to tell them, hey, I didn't get to graduate with you guys, but they were real supportive of me, and they were putting liquids, and we had cinch out there. I guess they put too much into me. They had me drinking it like, if somebody needed to stay awake, they'd be like shoving coffee down their throat all night. It was like that. So the ambulance came out. I guess one of the training NCOs on the rifle range called an ambulance, and it came out, and they put me on a stretcher, and they put me in the ambulance. They took me to the main hospital at Fort Benning, and they pulled the stretcher out. The doctor greeted me. The doctor says to me, he says, son, are you all right? And I said, I told him, I don't know. I just don't feel good, sir. And he said, well, we're going to get you better, son. He goes, wheel him into the operating room. So they took me in. I almost died 2 times, and I was in a coma for 3 days. And it was about 5 days later, the doctor came in. He was, I believe he was a major, or he could have been a lieutenant colonel. I'm not sure. But he said, Mr. Wildman, he didn't call me specialist or anything like that. He just called me Mr. Wildman. He said, are you okay? You almost died 2 times on the operating table. We had you on there for 2 days in a row. He said, you were in a coma for 3 days, and I'm able to talk to you. Are you confident? Do you know where you're at? He handed me a newspaper, and he says, do you see what day it is? And I said, sir, this is 5 days after we were on the rifle range. And he goes, I'm just curious, Mr. Wildman, you almost died 2 times. I was going to write your mom and your brother in Danville, California, and something was fighting inside of you. Do you have any idea what that was? And I said, sir, there could only be one thing that would keep me going. It's been keeping me going since I watched the Iron Sheik beaten by Hulk Hogan at Madison Square Garden. I thought it was January 24th, 1984, but one of the guys on the VOC Nation said it was January 23rd. But I told him I was home on leave. I was going to Korea for at least a year, and I saw this match in Napa on Viacom MSG channel. And I first got laid my eyes on Hulk Hogan, he just inspired me. So I said, it has to be the Hulkamania that's running wild inside of me all the time. I used to, Dr. John, be in the National Guard unit. And when it was Raiders Sunday, when the Raiders were playing, I would run into the wall locker that they gave me. I would run into it, ram into it, and I would get down and do like 25 push-ups. And Sergeant Berg was, oh, the Raiders must be playing today, But it was the Hulkamania, I told that doctor, that was keeping me going. I had a catheter in my Yoo-hoo, my private area. I had an IV I was attached to. And I told the doc, I want to get back to my company area. And he goes, well, young man, I'm going to recommend your company commander to have you do light duty in the sun. And I was leaving the company area, and I was out processing from the hospital. And the nurse told me, Mr. Wildman, you have a heat stroke, and you're not allowed to train in the sun until it cools down. So I went back to my company area, and Captain Krieger was my company commander, and he was from Philadelphia, and he was one of the coolest outdoor guys, had a real gravelly voice like that, and I went into his office, and Captain Krieger said, Wildman, we can do this. We can send you home for 3 months, and you can come back in October, and you can train again, where you left off. And I said, sir, I don't want to go back home. I lost my apartment. I lost my dog. My whole world was falling apart. I want to stay here. And he says, well, we can put you in the orderly room and the supply room, and you can work with Sergeant Webb and Specialist Mahan. Now, Specialist Mahan is a key part of this story that I'm getting to. So keep that name on your mind when I'm talking about this, because in a few minutes, I'll explain what Specialist Mahan did for me. Specialist Mahan was waiting on orders. He'd already finished 11 Bravo training. He was much younger than I was. And he was a character. He liked to joke with Lieutenant Mudd. He was the XO. And I told Captain Krieger that I would love to work with Specialist Mahan and Sergeant Webb in the supply room for 30 days. I started working with Mahan, and we were taking a break, and Mahan's doing Beavis and Butthead. Cornelius! I mean, I can't do it like he can. I was still down, and Mahan was talking to me, and he says, Wildman, he goes, I'm not as old as you are, but I know it must hurt that these guys are out training. Your buddies are out training. You can't be there with them. So he said, I'm doing these impressions for you to cheer you up. He goes, I'll bet you'll like this next one. And he goes, as I looked up in the sun, brother, he was doing a Hulk Hogan. And then he says, let's see you do it, Malcolm. And I said, I can't do it. I said, with my high-pitched voice, I couldn't do that. And he says, well, try. So Mahan had me doing it. And I was going up to the barracks on the third floor to rejoin my buddies after duty, at the end of the day, to go back to my bunk. and there was a lady I cared about, and I was going to write her a poem. I was trying to get creative with a poem, and these guys are around my bunk. And there's one guy, he's in the shower. He comes out with a towel wrapped around him. He goes, "I heard Hulk Hogan in here. I got to meet this guy." And the guys were like, "Hey, Wildman, you did Hulk Hogan. Do him again." You know, I said, "Come on, guys." I said, "I had a rough day. Leave me alone. So I just want to do some writing and lie down." And the guys go, "Who are you doing Hulk Hogan? Do him again." And I said, "I was doing Hogan." And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, I'll try." So I was doing it. And the guy said, "Do somebody else. Do Ric Flair. Do Andre the Giant." And I was thinking about how Roddy Piper used to do Andre the Giant. Like that. And the guys were laughing. I said, "Roddy used to do that on prime time, you know." And he used to make me laugh. And he used to get Bobby Heenan upset, grill him on thing. He used to get a kick out of Roddy, like Andre. So I was trying to do Andre. And then one guy says, "Hey, Wildman, do the Mega Powers, do the Macho Man." And I said, "I can't do the Macho Man." There's another guy, and he says, "Wildman can't do the Macho Man. He could only do his manager, Elizabeth, with his voice." So I said, "Oh, I can." I said, "Well, I'm going to try it, man. I'm going to put a little madness to snap into a Slim Jim right now." And it was so funny. The guys were cheering me on, and they said, "We go out for PT the next day. And I'm doing Hogan, and I'm doing Savage for the guys. I'm doing a Mega Bars kit." I'm like, "Yeah, Hulk Hogan? Yeah, I'm going to challenge you for your WWF heavyweight title. No, you're not, Macho Man. I'm going to take you out, brother, one by one. I got everybody Heenan wants to set up against me. One by one, I'm going to take them out, my brother." And like that, you know, every morning before PT, you know, I couldn't train 11 Bravo, but it was cool enough from 4 to 4:30 in the morning when we started PT, and we were only out there like an hour and a half. The sun at Fort Benning didn't come up. It didn't start getting hot till like 6:37. So Captain Krieger wanted me to stay in shape till October, so he wanted me to still do PT. And we were doing PT. I was doing it with the guys, and I was feeling good because I was with all my prior service buddies. I was helping them out. I was being a part of the team again. And we took a PT final. Well, they did in September, and I was in charge of the scorecards. And the guys called me over, and they said, "Hey, Wildman, we need some Mega Powers energy from you right now to do this PT final." And I did it for them. And they all graduated in September, and they told me, "You know, Wildman, we did this for you. We were going to buy you a gift, but we didn't think that was enough. We were going to have a plaque made, but there wasn't enough time, you know, but we took your name, Malcolm and Hulkamania, and we came up with the nickname for you, Malcolmania." And it's on the back of my Raider jersey. I love, you know, those guys. The Pata was from New York. He was in the National Guard, and all those guys with them. My bunk mate, you know, if they hear this, I want to tell them thank you so much, you know, for sticking with me, for saving my life, getting the water and the liquids into me. You know, it's true that they put a little too much liquids, because another thing the doctor told me he had to do, and he put the catheter inside of me, if you remember me telling about the catheter, he put the catheter inside of me to drain out all the liquid. They put too much liquid in me. And he said it could have caused brain damage. So he put a catheter in her to drain it out right away. That's why that
yeah.
woke up that there. But, you know, they got
Malcolm, I want to break in here. We don't have but about 5 minutes. I want to tell everybody why I had you on here. You have shown that the power of positive thinking and thinking about great things like train, take your vitamins, drink your milk, and be successful. That can save someone's life after a heat stroke. And by the way, your boys at Fort Benning, didn't they end up breaking some records in that PT final?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. They three guys broke four Fort Benning physical training records. And the drill sergeants came up to me and they said, "Wildman, you had to bottle that Hulkamania and sell it to NASA. That stuff is powerful. I mean, we can't get these guys going like you can. And then one of the drill sergeants, when I was training later on, and I was able to train after October and I was doing some push-ups, he said, you not only sound like Hulk Hogan, you're going to look like Hulk Hogan. I was going to the gym every night. I bought myself a mixer, and I bought some protein powder at GNC, and I was really, you know, I was training, saying my prayers, eating my vitamins, and believing in Hulkamania, brother, you know, at Fort Benny, Georgia, you know, and I took it everywhere I went. I think the greatest impression of Hulk Hogan I ever did for anybody, I was at a Hollywood show in October 2000, and I did it for Frank Gorshin, the Riddler, on the Batman TV show. And Frank grabbed a picture I asked him to sign, and he put, "To Malcolm, love your Hulk, Frank Gorshin, the Riddler." I was stoked because I have loved the Batman TV show since I was 5 years old in 1968. I told Hulk Hogan he didn't start wrestling until 79. Piper didn't start wrestling until 76. Flair didn't start wrestling until 72. But it was my original heroes were Batman and Robin, Adam West, and Burt Ward. And I met Burt Ward 5 times so far. Adam West passed away, but I met him 6 times. And it was a real thrill. You're 36 years old in October 2000. You know, it's 31 years later, and you're meeting your childhood hero. And Dr. John, there's no way to describe how nice Adam West and his agent Fred were me every time I met him. You know,
Malcolm, that is a great thing. And Robert Storch, I want to ask you a question. Don't you think the power of positive thinking can change lives?
Absolutely. That story was amazing. It really, you know, warms your heart, and you know. Positive thinking is the key. Get rid of the negative thinking and we'll be in better places.
And you know what? We would all be better if we followed Hulkamania. You know, drink milk, take your vitamins. You got it. And that is something that's important. And that's why I'm trying to get Malcolm out to tell this story to a lot of people. Because, Malcolm, you wouldn't be here and you would be doing great if it weren't for the power, for the positive power of Hulkamania, right?
Right. I guess one word to describe me the best would be determination. I couldn't zero my weapon in basic training, and I was recycled, and I could have quit. It took me 191 tries, but I never stopped. I wanted to graduate. And then when I was at Fort Benning, I had the heat stroke, and I could have gone back home and forgot about it. But there's always been determination inside of me. When I come across a challenge, like I'm doing this premiere tonight with David Arquette, my best friend in the world. And Dave, when I do it for him, I'm not doing the premiere for myself. I'm doing it for my best friend. Everything he wants me to do, he doesn't want me to bring stuff with me. He wants me to bring a few things. That's what I'm going to do. If this is for David Arquette, he's a big name celebrity, and he treats me like an everyday person. He treats me like I want to be treated. He just likes me for me being me, and that's what I like about David Arquette.
And you know what, Malcolm? We got a minute left. That's why you're a wrestling super fan, is because you treat everybody that you like just that way, like they are number one and the best. And positive thinking will rule. Yes, sir.
You got to hear this. I was on the Tonight Show, October 6, 2008, and the MC had me, when people had shared talent that they had, and I got on there and did Hogan. The microphone came down from the ceiling. And I yelled so loud, I vibrated one of the wires loose, and the prop man had to find a replacement microphone because Katy Perry and her band were on there, and Gerard Butler, the Scottish actor, and Jay Leno came out, and he says, "Hey, Malcolm, I'll pay for a hotel room for you until Friday." It was Monday, and you can stay all week if you'll get on my amateur show Friday and do Hogan again, because I'll steal the ratings the next morning. And I told him I couldn't do it because I had a hospital appointment at Travis Air Force Base. I have a mental condition from the Army, you know. But Jay Leno said, if I could get you on there, I'd run out of time before you ran out of things to say. You know, I'm a motor mouth,
all right.
Dr. Jim.
Well, I'll tell you what, Malcolm, we have reached the end of this great show. Robert, thanks for being here. See everybody next
Thank
week.
You.
Go visit Mount Mitchell.
Take care, Malcolm.
Take care.
Hey, Rob, nice to talk to you. You're my new friend. I'm
thanks,
making a
Malcolm.
Laugh. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Stay dry.
Au revoir.